So, if I were to define a conversation fire starter of a podcast episode, it would be episode 12 from a couple of weeks ago, Assuming I Was a Safe Space. And this was the third installment of the four-part series called Mistakes I've Made as a Coach and Leader. Y'all, my DMs and inbox blew up with discourse and disagreements about the statements I made about how us as coaches and leaders are not really able to define safe spaces for other people. There was also deep gratitude for me finally shining a love light on a topic that many have felt was long overdue in our industry. And here's the thing. I get it. We're changing culture here. There's going to be some feathers that are ruffled, and there's going to be some paradigms that shift. And with all of that, there's going to be resistance because we are changing culture, and change is scary. That's literally what we're doing here in the Embodied Leader and in the Embodied Leader Incubator Program this fall. Now, I believe that if we want to do less harm in our coaching and leadership, the first step is to notice our resistance around change and our own fear around change. Because here's the truth. I welcome the discourse. I welcome the conversation. And yes, I even welcome the disagreements. I expected them, to be honest, because change is scary. I mentioned that earlier. It's literally perceived as a threat by our brains. And so the antidote becomes to befriend the wise and adaptive responses that we have to that threat of change if we really want to create change. And this, well, this is a judgment-free, compassionate space for you to do that. Welcome back to the Embodied Leader. If we've never met, I'm voice and embodied life and leadership coach Elise Bessler, and today I'm going to further debunk why naming our coaching containers as safe spaces doesn't necessarily provide safety and can actually cause further harm to the people we work with. So, in the original episode on assuming I was a safe space in my coaching containers in the past, I shared three ways that we can all cultivate felt safety in ourselves so that there will be a greater likelihood that our clients and the people we support will be able to decipher those signals as a safe space for themselves. And remember, we can't make that happen for anyone else. But with all of the questions and discourse and conversation that came out of that episode, I wanted to share some very specific reasons why naming safe spaces or naming spaces as safe can cause harm. And this is so that you can explore how you're describing your space and, yes, cause less harm in the containers you create if you want. This movement, this paradigm shift is for coaches and leaders, and really any humans who are ready to center consent and nervous system literacy in their lives and work. And that's not for everyone, or rather, not everyone is open to that shift or that change yet. And if that's you, I welcome you to hang around here for a while. You are welcome, even if you're feeling skeptical. Doing business the other way, and that's the way that's born of a toxic culture that teaches us all to sort of outsource our power and our inner knowing to experts and people who might have the answers for us outside of ourselves, is still pretty commonplace. And it will take some time for the majority to get on board this ship. And this is the ship that's sailing towards trauma-informed coaching and leadership. So here's the thing. Of course, you want your space to be safe. And yes, you even intend your space to be safe. And you even have the desire to hold space for your people so that they can feel safe to make the changes that you know are possible through doing the work that you offer. You wouldn't be here listening if you didn't. So here are three reasons why there's really no such thing as a safe space and how we can cause harm by calling our spaces safe. Number one, our intention doesn't necessarily match the felt and lived experience of the people who are in our containers. Felt safety is cultivated at the nervous system level, and 85% of adults in North America have experienced some sort of traumatic event or ongoing lived experience that may have them not feeling safe in many spaces. And so even if we promise that, their embodied truth may tell them something different. They might think to themselves, well, but she said it was a safe space, so why don't I feel safe? And the irony is, they may not feel safe to speak up and share that with us. The antidote to this one is to do our own felt safety work for ourselves so that we show up regulated in our own nervous systems, and we can then co-regulate with the people in our care. And co-regulation means that we can use our own nervous system, our breath, and our presence to offer felt safety, or the greater possibility of felt safety, to the people we support. And I'm going to offer a shameless plug here. If you want to learn how to do this, the Embodied Leader Incubator might just be the program for you. And I'll share a little bit more about that at the end of this episode. So here's the second reason why there's really no such thing as a safe space. The word safe often centers privilege. Now, I didn't include this story in my initial episode on mistakes that I've made with this subject matter, but I want to share it today because I think it's really, really important to illustrate how the word safe does center privilege. I used to ask clients about feeling safe in their bodies, feeling safe to speak up or feeling safe to show up. And honestly, I could see the dis-ease in the bodies of culture and specifically women of color that I worked with when I asked this question. And I'm naming it right now. I caused harm in those moments. I caused harm when I asked someone who culturally, societally, rooted in systemic oppression, does not feel safe in their body. I caused harm. I'm owning that. Now, I listened deeply when they shared truthfully that spaces don't often feel safe living in bodies of color or bodies of culture. And that's because of the realities and the systemic narratives of white supremacy. So when we name our spaces as safe and we're inviting bodies of culture and bodies of color and other marginalized folks into our work, we must 100% let them decide for themselves if they feel safe in our presence. The antidote to this one, in addition to nervous system regulation, do your anti-racism work. This is ongoing. It's not just a weekend course. It's vitally important to the dismantling of white supremacy and white privilege in our coaching spaces. Number three, accountability. If we call our spaces safe and a rupture occurs in the nervous system safety between ourselves and the person that we are supporting, how do we take responsibility for that? I've heard so many accounts from current and former clients who have been in other coaching relationships with other coaches and folks in leadership, and they've felt gaslit and really unsafe in those relationships. That was 85% of those people surveyed. They felt unsafe when there was a rupture. If they felt safe enough to speak up about the rupture, the safe space label was thrown back at them, and there was fragility involved on the part of the coach. Now, the antidote to this one is to believe people when they share their lived experience, and when they share that they've experienced a rupture in your relationship, believe them. If you're not sure how to decipher whether or not you've caused a rupture in your leadership, becoming nervous system literate can really support your own awareness while you're working with other people who inevitably will have different experiences than you. While we can't promise safety in our coaching containers, we can center our own regulated nervous systems in our daily practices. And this very thing is why I created the Embodied Leader Incubator Program. The nervous system is the operating system of our bodies. And when we ourselves as leaders and people in helping professions like coaching can self-regulate, we can explore offering safer spaces. Why is that? Well, that's because we ourselves feel safe in our own bodies. When we operate from a level of felt safety, we're more curious and compassionate about the world around us and those we meet in that world. We lead from a story of connection rather than a story of protection or disconnection. And that means we have the capacity to hold that space for others because we hold it for ourselves first. We have a full awareness of it. We also work in an industry and live in a world that centers viewing ourselves as projects to be fixed, and that our mindset is the holy grail towards creating change. And I'm not saying mindset isn't important. It is. And if our bodies don't feel safe to create that change, the mindset work isn't going to amount to a hill of beans. And that's because our bodies and brains are always seeking safety. And we'll keep coming back to it over and over and over and over again because we, or the people we support, don't feel safe to make that change. Now, that all sounds rather ominous, right? And maybe a little bit scary because it is different and there is change involved. And if you're curious about exploring what nervous system literacy can offer you and your work from a felt safety level, consider joining us in the Embodied Leader Incubator this September. This is a 3-month program to help you better understand your nervous system first so that you can better understand the nervous systems of the people you support. And yes, also hold more harm-free space and create lasting change for yourself and the people you work with. This program is a warm and compassionate space, a brave space, with high-touch coaching support from me during our calls and even off hours, as well as a beautiful community of folks who have already signed up and are ready to embody their leadership as well. There's a link in the show notes. Check it out for all of the details. And I love hearing from you. Yes, all of your thoughts on these episodes. Reach out at hello@elisebessler.com via email, on Instagram @elisebessler. And of course, I would be grateful if you would review this podcast on the platform that you love to listen to it. Leaving a 5-star rating really helps this podcast get to the earbuds of the folks that may find it supportive. See you next time on The Embodied Leader.